Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman, you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips. Like
it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome
life's the Sandman.
Over, Sandman.
Talking to your parents about their finances or long-term care, it can be tough, especially if they're independent. But since we're only a week away from Thanksgiving, I thought it'd be a great idea this morning to help you get prepared to talk with them about their plans, especially if it's likely that you'll have to help them when they need it. Let's face it, you don't want to sound greedy or intrusive, but you also don't want to get blindsided. Well, thanks to one of our listeners, I've put together a great show today to help you get the conversation started when it comes to talking to your parents about their end-of-life plans. Good morning. This is David Hollander, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled tax, legal, or financial questions each week. And that's because I run a tax, legal, and financial planning firm and been doing it for over 30 years. All right, so if you have older parents, you may be wondering if they are going to be okay financially and if they have all the right documents in order when the time comes. But how do you ask questions like that without seeming intrusive or greedy? I don't know why this topic feels so awkward, but it doesn't need to be. So it's important to have an open dialogue about money and estate planning in advance. Otherwise, you'll spend many, many wasted hours, perhaps even days, trying to help your parent when that time comes. You could also face multiple tax surprises in the expensive and time-consuming probate process. This can all be avoided by just talking about it ahead of time. And so Thanksgiving really is that perfect time, as you'll undoubtedly have that private moment where that opportunity will present itself. So how do you broach the subject? What questions do you need to ask your parents without coming across as just wanting to get your hands on their money? Well, that's what we're hoping to help you answer today as we share 7 questions on how to ask your parents about their plans without being pushy. Keep it right here and find out how to help your aging parents make sure they're on the right track. You'll only find it this weekend here on Protect Your Assets. Now, let's get started. So another good week on Wall Street. We had the Dow up 1.9%. S&P 500 passing that 4,500 level, closing at 4,514, up 2.2% for the week. NASDAQ up 2.4%, the international index, MSCI EFI, up 3.4%, so nice little growth there. They're up 7% now year-to-date. 10-year Treasury, this is part of the story this week. The 10-year Treasury was down about 0.2%, closing at 4.43%. Remember, it was just like over 5% less than a month ago. So big move in Treasuries this week. And oil down again. Down 1.6% to close at $75.94 a barrel. So what drove the market this week? Well, the October Consumer Price Index report, inflation. Inflation, again, the numbers continue to move this market. And so we had the report come out this week, and it was expected to be decent. And the index came out 0.1%. I mean, think about that, 0.1% lower than the estimates. So we're not talking a big number there. But the core inflation was still about 4%. So that's double what the Fed's 2% target is. Well, this ignited a massive and pretty good rally across stocks and bonds. So we saw the S&P 500 jump close to the July highs that we just saw. So there is really no singular reason that this inflation number created such a rally. So while it's possible the S&P 500 could rally more into the close of this year, again, if there's no real negative surprises out there, I don't view this inflation report this week as a long-term bullish game changer. And so CPI definitely was a little better. I mean, we're talking 0.1% better than expected, and it did help reduce worries about inflation coming back. Additionally, and importantly, as we talk about these pillars that support the market, that remember the disinflation pillar, it's still in place, obviously, because inflation's going the right way. But seriously, to warrant a 2% rise in the S&P 500 and over a 5% rise in the Russell 2000 because of 0.1%, that's just not justified. And so we really need to get typically a real, tangible, substantial positive surprise to make something like that happen. So what did happen was the CPI report likely eliminated the possibility of the Fed raising rates anymore. And it also caused the market to readjust their anticipation. And so we saw the market expect now that the Fed next year will cut as early as May 24, and the number of cuts could be 3 to 4. Now, the Fed's talking about, hey, we're not going to start cutting rates until October through December, fourth quarter of 24, and we may do it once. So it just shows you the disjointed connect there. And then also the market's expecting year-end rates to be at 4.54% on the 10-year. Sorry, I keep saying it. These are the Fed funds. So the Fed fund rate, 4.54%. And the Fed is projecting 5.125. So it's, you know, they're just not on the same planet here. So I agree that this inflation report, the Fed's not likely to hike rates again just because of what we're seeing with inflation cooling down a little bit. But that's not a surprise, because prior to this report this week, markets priced in a 25% chance of another hike. I also don't agree that the CPI will make the Fed more likely to cut rates sooner than expected. And that's also because this inflation report didn't really change the outlook. If you're following the data like we do each week right here, you can see that inflation's declining, but super slow. I mean, we're not even anywhere near that 2%. So still got a ways to go. Now, if the inflation wasn't a major positive, then why did stocks rally so much this past week? Well, I believe it's another example of this market aggressively pricing in what it wants to believe. So when I was talking about the cuts and the lower rates, et cetera, that's the market. And the market simply does not want to believe that the Fed's going to be doing this higher for longer stuff. They just don't get it. So the CPI doesn't justify right now the multiple that we're seeing on the S&P 500, and it doesn't justify the earnings expectations that the market's assuming are going to happen. We just came out of the third quarter. We all know that wasn't great. And we also know inflation is slowly declining. So now, from a valuation standpoint, the S&P 500 is about 2% over the higher end, what I'll call fair value range of the November market multiple table that we talked about a few weeks ago. So I'm saying these gains are not fundamentally justified, and so I'd like you to enjoy the rally as you enjoy your turkey and everything else that goes with Thanksgiving. But, hey, don't confuse this environment with something that is substantially better, because a drop in inflation at this level doesn't matter if the economic growth starts to dramatically slow down, because if economic data points towards a more intense slowing, recession coming, that's what is going to be a big problem for the stock, and stocks will drop. And so even though this past week's rally and the one before that was impressive and positive overall for your account, it seems a little overdone to me and a little over-optimistic, and I still would be cautious, and I'd be looking to reposition some things as we exit the year here, maybe take some gains, maybe offset some losses. We call that tax harvesting. You might want to do that right now and be ready for the first quarter. So what kind of things should you be looking at? Well, you could be looking at value. You could be looking at core. You could be looking at what they call low volatility. And also remember, if you own bonds, If we look back to the bond market compared to what was going on in the 70s and 80s to now, bond investors who reinvested their dividends and remained patient as the compounding of those dividends took hold and bought shares at lower prices, they nearly doubled their capital from 1976 to 1983. So think about that. Over the longer term, bond total returns are driven more by reinvesting those dividends and letting them compounding over time than getting frustrated with the NAV on your fund. All right. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you have questions about bonds, well, you know what to do. Call 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, what's the easiest way to save 3 years and possibly over $100,000 in legal fees? We'll stick around and find out. You are listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. I will be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. If you have an older parent, maybe wondering if they are going to be okay financially and if they have all the right documents in order. And so since Thanksgiving is just around the corner, this is our annual Thanksgiving show, we thought we would talk to you about how you could spend some time with them to ask some questions that could really help you out later. Because we see this regularly where kids are trying to help their parents who become ill, access funds, and pay their bills, and they just can't. They don't know where money is, and the banks give them a super hard time. So that's why today we're going to help guide you through 7 questions on how to ask your parents about their finances without sounding pushy or awkward. So here's the first question that you could start with. You could just say, hey, mom and dad, like, or if you're talking to your dad outside, you know, you have that moment. You just say, hey, dad, where's your will? Just wondering if you know, that'll say, well, do you have a will, et cetera, right? Where's your will? And then if they do have a will or a trust, then you say, well, hey, am I the executor or am I the trustee after, you know, you or mom? Because that's typical. Usually mom or dad will be the backup trustee or the backup executor for the other person. But let's face it, you know, things happen, people pass away, and then what? Well, now you're up. So it's important to know if you may have that role in those estate planning documents and what it actually means. Because a number of our clients have wills naming their children as the executor or the trustee of the estate. And those definitely mean things, and there's powers in those documents that you need to know how to use those. So next, find out where your parents keep that will, that trust, any other estate planning documents, and who's the attorney that drafted them. Most estate planning attorneys keep the original copy on file, but I've seen many situations where no one could find the latest will after the death of a parent. And if your parents are among the many out there who don't have a will, you should advise them to hire an estate attorney to help get a plan in place. You could even offer to pay to have it done. It can be more costly and way more time intensive to you to try and figure all this out when you're in the heat of the moment. Now, we've seen up to 3 years lately, 3 years, to get court power to step in and help your parents. And if you need to get access to money at the banks, well, just get ready for spending hours and hours and hours of your time banging your head against the wall, because you're going to have to go through it. And I see this with just about every bank I've dealt with. So some wills are going to describe end-of-life celebrations, And you definitely want to get a handle on that because you're going to have a lot of pressure to do it right. And your parents have expectations, obviously, of what they want. So talk to them about it. Make sure it's clear and understandable. One item that is not commonly listed in a will that you may want to ask about is if your parents have prepaid for a burial plot or memorial arrangements. Now, Neptune Society is excellent. I've worked with them many, many times. And if that's something your parents are interested in doing, I encourage you to go down there with them and talk, just have a conversation. There's no commitment, but at least check it out. They do a great job of buttoning that all up. Here's the next question you want to ask. Do you have any special gifts to family or friends? This creates a lot of problems. Family heirlooms and special personal property may have a prominent place in your parents' estate plan, as well as for you and your brother and sister. Perhaps your sister has claimed your mom's engagement ring, or your brother has asked for dad's watch. Knowing your parents' intentions and wishes for their keepsakes will make things a lot easier when they pass, especially if you're the executor or the trustee, because all of a sudden now you're in a position where you've got to make some decisions. And your spouse may want that engagement ring, but hey, let's face it, you know, your sister is who mom wants it to go to, right? I mean, that you could just see the problems. I mean, I've literally had families not talk to each other anymore because of this stuff. It's just not worth it, really. Think about it. So having these conversations, making light of it, you know, joking. I mean, you can put these questions any way you want, but having these conversations this Thanksgiving could really help prevent any disagreements when things get tough later on. Some of our clients have used a separate list for personal items that are referenced in their will, and this enables them to quickly update that list on their computer instead of revising the entire document over and over and over again. Make sure you have a list of all the safe deposit boxes. Get a copy of the key that opens that box if, again, you are the executor. Make sure your name, go down to the bank with them and talk to the manager there and just say, hey, I just want to make sure, you know, when mom or dad is ill, that I can help them. And so what the bank will do is they'll put your name on that box with mom or dad. So you both have access. As long as mom and dad are around, that's it. You have to be together. If mom and dad aren't around or are incapacitated, once again, you can get in there and get access to it. So they still feel secure with that. And most importantly, you can get on the bank account as a co-signer. You don't have to take liability. You don't have to have taxes paid to you because of that, you know, be tax liable. No, you can just go ahead and be able to write checks when and if the time comes. Now, also make sure that the valuable cash items are maybe stored in those safe deposit boxes. We had a client up in Santa Rosa. Remember the big fires a few years ago? They had over $100,000 in cash sitting in a safe in the ground, and there was that big fire, and all the money's gone. It literally toasted. It was gone because of the heat. So talk to them about that. Think through that. If they have cash or other items that are super valuable, well, maybe you put that in a safe deposit box at a bank. Next question. Ask this. Any life insurance I need to know about? Life insurance doesn't typically generate a 1099. They also only publish statements once a year. So an item that may not be listed on your parents' list of accounts is a life insurance policy. Find out if your parents have any active life insurance policies, which company has issued the policy, and get the policy number. It's really a good idea to call the company, even though it seems kind of dumb, call the company and make sure that all the information is still up to date. Many companies change ownership or are bought by other companies, and this becomes confusing trying to track it down. Double check the beneficiaries. People may not be here anymore. It may have changed. So make sure that your parents are okay. You're okay. You understand the beneficiaries. If your parents are still working, they may have life insurance through an employer, and that could be a policy that would pay out if something happened while they were at work. We had a client, again, who worked for a very large company, you know, had a nice life insurance policy through work. Ex-wife was named as the beneficiary because it wasn't changed after 20 years, and you know what happened. That's right. New wife was not happy. So on today's show, We're sharing the 7 questions you need to know to help your parents and you stay out of trouble if and when the time comes. And if you've thought about any of these things, or maybe you need some help just talking about it, this weekend we are here, and we're more than happy to talk with you through the situation and get you ready to help manage what's coming your direction next Thursday. Don't spend another minute worrying about this. Just pick up the phone right now. Talk to a member of my team. They're standing by on the phone right now. 866-PROTECT, the number to call to get some help from an attorney. We are attorneys. We do this. 866-776-8328. We've been doing it for over 30 years. I have lots of experience. 866-PROTECT. Get help right now. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say if you have an advisor, CPA, or attorney, you're okay. Is that always the case? Find out. It pays to keep it tuned right here. You are listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. That's me. We will be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And this is a nice blustery winter morning. That time of year. Can you believe it? This year has gone by so fast. We have Thanksgiving next week. So if you have older parents and you're all getting together, you may be wondering if they're going to be okay financially and if they have all their documents in order. Because let's face it, you might have to be the person stepping in to help them out. And the last thing you want to do is get blindsided. So how do you ask questions like this without seeming intrusive or greedy? It's a tough situation. I do feel your pain. So that's why today we are helping you with 7 questions on how to ask your parents about their finances. Now, it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of this show. It is our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one that they say. They say that if you have an advisor, an attorney, and a CPA, you're A-OK. Is that true? Well, I'd say not necessarily. Unfortunately, then the next question you want to ask related to this is, who are these people? Right? You should know who they are and what they stand for, what they do. Because let's face it, let's say that something happens between now and the end of the year and you have to file your tax return in April for your parent, right? What are you going to do? Do you even know who to call? Do you even know where the last year's returns are, or where all the documents will be to get that in line? And that brings me to the next question, and this is why you want to know this. You want to ask this question. Do you keep a list of all of your accounts handy? Do you keep a list of all of your accounts handy? Ask your parents to put a list together of their financial assets, the usernames and passwords for those accounts, and the people who are designated as power of attorneys or beneficiaries on those accounts. Let me give you some examples. The children, you probably, are likely the beneficiary with your brother and sister. And if we're talking about an IRA account or a 401k, then what's going to happen is if you're the beneficiary on that policy or that account, then you're going to be paid out as that money pays out. Now, we've had this happen with very recent cases where the life insurance named different people as beneficiaries. There was a brother and a sister and another brother in this case. And one of the brothers started borrowing money to pay the policy. And he thought that he was the primary beneficiary. Turned out he wasn't. And so the brother and sister who didn't pay a dime to this ended up getting a big fat check. And now, believe me, they don't talk to each other. They're very angry at each other. Make sure to keep this information in a safe place. Now, this is where security and how you do it is important. Because your parents, if they're giving up passwords and user IDs, and let's face it, that generation is just not necessarily comfortable with the internet. Or their cell phone. They, you know, they hear all these stories, which are true. You know, there's hackers. There's things happening all the time. You can't really explain why that's happening except for they're listening right on your phone. So there's a way to do it. You can do this, say, on a computer. So if they have a desktop computer, you know, or an iPad or something like that, they can create a document. They can just lay all this out on that document. They can update it regularly with you, maybe stop by. You know, when you see him once, twice, three times a year, four times, however many you see your parents, right? Just do it once a year. Sit down with them. Go over that with them on their protected device. Make sure it's locked, right, when they walk away so someone just can't pick it up and walk away with it. But you know what I mean. Just help them get some of this basic stuff done and then know where it is. And then just give it back to them. You know, just give it back to them because then they're going to feel good that you know. You're going to feel good because you know. And if something comes up, you know where to go and what to do. Now, the other thing you can do, we use a program called eMoney for financial planning. And eMoney has in it something called a vault. This is an electronic vault that's on the internet. It's accessible via password. It's encrypted. And you can upload documents to the vault. And then you can entitle people like you as the child to see certain things. And so that might be a place where you can have something in the cloud that ties all their accounts together, even though they're not at the same custodian, allows you to access things like what I'm talking about virtually, really anytime you need to. So you could be sitting at work, get a call, need to call a bank and get something done, and now you've got the ability to do it. If your parents have a financial advisor, CPA, attorney, ask them to keep that person's contact information on that list. Break it down. Say, who's the attorney? What's the phone number? What's the website? Email. Check those. Make sure they're still in business. I recommend once a year sitting down with them and doing that. One of our clients each year gives their adult child a sealed envelope that lists all this information in it, and it says only open an emergency. We also meet with the adult children of several clients who are still in good health, and this helps them understand their parents' plan as well as how we can help if the parent becomes ill or can no longer make decisions for themselves. Next question is more of an observation. Have you forgotten bills or had trouble balancing your checkbook lately? Now, this might be something you observe. Look around the house if you're going to their house for Thanksgiving. Are there a lot of stacks of things? Bills in particular? Credit card statements on a desk somewhere? I recommend if you see that, have a discussion of the financial decisions with your parents. Because if they're not in good health at that moment or they're on the margin, like you might say, well, they're, you know, dad keeps repeating the same story every kind of 10 minutes. That's a sign. Have that financial decision, that financial discussion with them. Because what this will do is it'll enable everyone while you're all together to start making plans if that gets worse. Because it usually does. Hate to tell you, but it does. The signs of memory loss include forgetting appointments, making occasional errors while managing household finances, or just getting confused on what day of the week it is. I've seen people deviating from normal patterns of behavior that caused us to reach out to the family for guidance. In one case, a client started giving away a significant amount of assets and cash to an organization. Another one was giving it to some guy in Somalia who was posing as an American general traveling around the world and needed money. So this family was able to step in and determine that the client was being taken advantage of, and we were able to stop the transfers because usually we get notified of it and then we step in and do it. I actually put someone in jail who went to a senior's house and claimed he was fixing their roof and was having the senior write him lots of checks to pay for that. And I caught that and put that guy away. Next question, are you all set with a living will? What are your wishes for your long-term care or your medical decisions? These are super important questions. And you can phrase them any way you like, but I highly recommend you talk about this. Your parents should have a couple documents I ask you to look for. Look for something called, or ask them about, the Advanced Healthcare Directive. It's also known as a living will or a healthcare power of attorney. That's typically one document. The other one that's super important is a DNR. It's called a Do Not Resuscitate. Your parents may feel very strongly about this. And with a DNR, you want to put that on the refrigerator in their house because that's what the paramedics are trained to look for. They'll walk in the house if mom and dad are on the floor and they're out and they're not coming back, they don't want to come back, be on machines, etc. A DNR will stop that process. So make sure you have that on the refrigerator. These documents tell others what they want, what their medical decisions are. And when you read that document, you'll see there are all kinds of things. For instance, if your parents' preference is for life-sustaining treatment, then it'll say that in that document. And then you don't have to make that call. Because think about that. You could be in a position where this just happened, you're getting the call, and you have no idea what to do. And then maybe your brother or sister are upset at you because you didn't do what they think mom or dad wanted. I mean, talk about a situation. The other thing you could ask for is, do they have any long-term care or disability policies? Because these are insurance policies that they might have, maybe you don't know about. And this provides money, cash, that you can then spend for someone to be able to stay home and pay for this assisted living or this skilled nursing in the home. Ask your parent if they have these, where do they want to receive their care if they absolutely need it? And what are their plans to stay in their home or go to an assisted living or long-term care facility? Again, if you don't know what that means, we're here to help. We've dealt with this for years and know about all the ones around here. If they have a policy, typically, to claim benefits, they need to be unable to perform what's called 2 out of 6 activities of daily living. Those are bathing, dressing, toileting, eating, transferring, incontinence, or have a severe cognitive disorder like dementia or Alzheimer's. If your parents have a policy, find it. Understand the basic benefits in case you need help to file a claim. Make sure it's current and up to date and paid for. Just be aware of how you access it and what you do. Now, I know there's a lot to stay on top of financially, and that's why I'm here to help you. You think you're ready to go? Well, guess what? The situation's going to pop up, and then you're going to realize you're not. So don't be like some of these people that we talk to. Make sure you're prepared. Make sure this doesn't happen to you. You can pick up the phone right now and talk to a member of my team, get answers, get ready, and make this a very productive Thanksgiving. Call 866-PROTECT to get our guide on these 7 questions. 866-PROTECT. We're here right now. We're live. Give us a call. 866-PROTECT. We'll email you over this list right now. 866-PROTECT. Find out how to protect the ones you love. It's time for a quick break. But when we come back, find out how you could get into trouble if you are the successor power of attorney for your parent. It's all coming up next. Keep it tuned right here.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And if you have older parents, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And so you may be wondering if they're going to be okay financially and how you're going to talk about the subject around the dinner table or, hey, when you're cooking or just together watching football, etc. But you don't want to be sounding like you're intrusive or greedy, do you? Particularly if your brothers or sisters are around. And I see this all the time. And so it is a tough situation. And so this morning we've been talking about 7 questions and how to phrase those and how to talk to your parents about their plans. Because let's face it, you might be the person who has to make some decisions. And the last thing you want to do is get blindsided with things you just didn't even know were coming your direction. So, okay, it is Thanksgiving next Thursday, and sure enough, you're probably all going to be together, and you're going to be talking about different things. And it's sort of inevitable that this conversation could come up about a will or a trust or money or plans or a bank account or anything around that subject. And so the first question that should come to mind to you is this: who is your financial power of attorney? Now, this question assumes there's a document in place, which there may not be. But in my opinion, this is one of the most important, you heard me, one of the most important documents that your parent could have. Because what it does is it enables somebody else to make a decision for them if they can't make one for themselves. Now, if mom and dad are together and they just think that the other one's going to take care of the other one, they probably will, and they'll probably be able to do that. But we've had a situation where mom and dad had community assets at, say, a bank or a brokerage company, and something happened to dad, and now mom has to go down there and try and get access to the accounts, and guess what? They tell her, sorry, you can't. Well, what do you mean? That's community property. It's half my asset. Well, no, it's not. Sorry. What do I do? Well, now you have to go to court and get a letters of testamentary and make sure you can get access to it. And if you're the child trying to help your mom out in that situation, imagine how you feel. You're going to get pretty angry pretty fast because it's their money. If you are the person named as that financial power of attorney after, say, in this case, mom's maybe still around, but let's say she has dementia and she's looking to you to help her. Or dad's has dementia, mom's still around, but she doesn't deal with finances, doesn't know where things are, doesn't know how to do anything related to that, and you do. So you're the next up. And so now you're going to step up to the plate, and do you know how to do what you need to do, and can you do what you need to do? So I encourage you to get information about their Medicare. Who's their health care provider? Find out if there's any pensions out there. Find out if there's Social Security benefits that are being paid. You want to know your mom's and your dad's, because when one of them passes away, they're going to lose that Social Security. Whose is bigger? Whose is better? And what's going to benefit your parent if you make the right decision? It also helps to know there are utilities companies. You may be from out of the state. So I recommend you have a copy of that bill, or at least get online and find out the account. Make sure you have access to it so you can pay that bill so the power doesn't get turned off. I mean, this has happened. Banks. Talked a little bit about this earlier, but please go down there with your parent to the bank and get added to the checking account as a co-signer. Because even if you have a power of attorney later, doesn't mean you're going to get access to that bank. Doesn't mean you can just walk in there with that document and think everything's okay. I literally have seen this over and over and over again. It never surprises me. Our power of attorney is 30 pages long. Pretty much calls out every particular decision, exempts the bank from, you know, making decisions that make them nervous. Doesn't matter. So go down there with your parent. Make sure you get on that account as a co-signer. And just be ready. You know, just get ready. Get this, about 2/3 of boomers have taken no steps to protect themselves if they suffer diminished capacity or dementia. They haven't spelled out their wishes for their care and end of life. They haven't sorted out a power of attorney for when one's needed. And as anyone who has been through this process can tell you, the chances are pretty high that if you wait to do this stuff until it's needed, well, it's going to be too late. One of the most important things you can think about is who you're going to work with and how they're going to help you through this. Make sure they have experience and they've been doing this. We've been doing this for over 30 years. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases. And so make sure you're with the right company that understands what's going on and has a contingency plan, because a lot of these solo practitioners are retiring and they're gone when you need them. Well, we have a team of people and we're here to help. So give us a call if you're going through this, if you need help looking at these things, just talking about it. We do it all the time. 866-PROTECT, the number to call, 866-776-8328. If you just want to bounce some ideas off, 866-PROTECT, call my team right now. We're happy to help. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer, Kevin Renfer, network manager, and of course, all my fabulous producers today helping me out, Tony, Lucas, Adrian. Thanks, guys, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend and enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday with your family. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.